I'm sorry, mister, you're mistaken. Maybe you've had enough? This is goddamn beer, I'm telling you. You trying to poison me or something?
The bartender produced the half-full whiskey bottle and showed it to him.
I poured it from this. Yeah? Well, pour another.
Irked, the bartender produced a fresh glass tumbler and poured from the Jim Beam bottle. To his astonishment, a beer froth rose in the tumbler all the way to the rim and above, then spilled down the sides. Mike Delaney smiled to himself and said nothing.
Chapter 2, April 2005. Ross Hunter's Friday morning started with the hangover he had promised himself he would not have. Just like he'd promised the same thing last week, and the week before, and the one before that. It had been the same every Friday morning since he had joined the Argus as a junior news reporter 18 months ago. But he had no inkling of quite how different today was going to be. Coming up to his 23rd birthday, Ross was tall and fit, with close-cropped dark hair and a good-looking but serious face, as if he was forever analysing everything, which most of the time he was, except now. Feeling like he had an axe stuck in his skull, he could barely think straight. He climbed blearily out of bed, yawned, and headed into the bathroom in search of paracetamol, cursing that he had done this to himself yet again. Every Thursday evening he agreed to have just one quick drink with his colleagues, to be sociable. Every Thursday night he ended up staggering home late from the Coach House pub in central Brighton. Part of the reason was one particular young crime reporter on the paper, Imogen Carter. He fancied her like crazy, but she seemed a lot more interested in one of the subs, and she was able to hold her drink better than all the rest of them. But he did feel that, little by little, she was starting to take more notice of him, and flirt just a bit more each time. "Thanks for another great hangover, Immo, and for letting me watch you wobble off towards the taxi rank, arm in arm with sodding Kevin Fletcher." Recently graduated from the School of Journalism at Goldsmiths and highly ambitious, Ross looked forward every morning to getting to work in the newsroom, where, as a junior reporter, he could be sent to cover just about anything. A traffic accident, a cot death, a fire, a court hearing, a charity presentation, or something as dull to write about as a school open day. All grist for the mill, learning his trade, cutting his teeth on this good, respected local paper. Hopefully a workout in the gym, then a long uphill cycle ride to work would clear his head. He listened to the local Radio Sussex news on the clock radio as he wriggled into his tracksuit and pulled the laces tight on his trainers, hoping for a big breaking story. The kind of story where one day in the future he might make his name and fulfill his dream of a national paper front page splash and byline. Gulping down the capsules with some water, he went into the kitchenette of his drafty second floor flat off Portland Road. The faint smells of last night's cooking from the Indian takeaway two floors below, not helping the nausea that accompanied his splitting headache. A couple of mouthfuls of banana at the breakfast table made him feel a little better. Washing them down with some apple juice, he stared at the post-it note stuck to the surface with the reminder he had written, "Dad's birthday card." He'd pick one up somewhere later. He went downstairs, walked past his padlocked bike in the hall, and let himself out into the darkness and falling drizzle. After a brisk 10-minute jog, he arrived at the gym shortly after 7 a.m. Several people were already there, working out in the mirrored room with its faint smells of sweat and polish. Most were alone on the treadmills, cross-trainers and spinners, or doing weights and crunches, and a few were having personal trainer sessions. The pounding beat of Queen was too loud for Ross's head as he stepped onto a cross-trainer to do a 20-minute workout program and cranked its display into life. As he built up his pace, watching his heart rate rising, 110, 120, 130, he was startled to suddenly hear his brother, Ricky, scream out his name. So loud, so close, it felt like he was standing right beside him. Except that wasn't possible. Ricky lived in Manchester, 260 miles away, where he worked as a trainee hotel manager. They rarely spoke on the phone, but Ricky had emailed him only yesterday afternoon to discuss what present to buy for their dad's 60th birthday next week. An instant later,